Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and want to congratulate the Giants and also the organizing committee. It's fortunate that we have the right colors on our bag. As you're walking outside, you know, everybody actually, you may be able to sell your bag, actually, because it's so popular. So congratulations to the Giants and the city. Thank you for this. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Scott McNabb. I'm a research professor at Emory University. Having spent 20 years at CDC and retiring 2 years ago, I had the fortune of being able to work with the National Guard Health Affairs of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So as our moderator indicated, I'm also the managing partner of a small business called Public Health Practice, and it was in this capacity that I worked with the National Guard Health Affairs through the course of this work that's described in this presentation. So our team includes Dr. Hanan Balki in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. She's the Director of Infection and Prevention Control in the National Guard Health Affairs, which is the military health system in the kingdom under the auspices of the Crown Prince, represents about 10% of the population in Saudi Arabia, as well as my colleague at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, Dr. Thad Miller, and my colleague at Emory University, Dr. Victoria Phillips, who's a health economist. So together we traveled at the request of Dr. Balki to work in the National Guard Health Affairs, which has a very sophisticated healthcare delivery system. In fact, in some ways, I would rather be hospitalized there than in Decatur in Atlanta because the medical care is so efficient. In fact, I think President Bill Clinton was hospitalized there during one of his trips as president to the kingdom. And so in the National Guard, under the leadership of Dr. Balki, there's a statement that we like to think about, that there is no dust in a darkened room, which means that if you have not evaluated your program, then there's no way for you to know whether or not your program is performing efficiently or effectively. Having worked at a local and state health department in Oklahoma and at the national level, I realize that many programs are not really thoughtfully evaluated. So until you really turn on the lights, as it were, to use this metaphor, in your program, you really don't know how well your program is performing. So the driving forces that we have in public health now include that the stewardship of public resources demands that we work better, faster, and cheaper, that we, especially if we receive U.S. federal government money or monies from the government and have that sort of charge, and that monitoring and evaluation are core elements of prudent public health practice. So together, monitoring and evaluation leads to better informed epidemiology, improved performance, and also reduced cost. So there are three important questions that all of us in public health should ask ourselves. First, are we doing the right things? Is the vision, mission, goals, strategies, and objectives of our program, are those in place? And are we monitoring those, as it were? And then are we doing the right things well? In other words, are we performing effectively? And the third question is, are we using the best approaches, that is, without waste, so that we're performing efficiently? These three questions should always be in the front of our minds, especially those of us who are stewards of the public's good. So the objectives of our work with the National Guard Health Affairs were to determine if the public health programs, policies, procedures, and practices were functioning at what one might call the global best practices level, and to calculate if the public health work being done in the National Guard was cost-effective and efficient, to evaluate if interventions that were deployed made positive impacts, and then finally to recommend improvements in efficiency and effectiveness in the public health programs. So we took two public health programs, hepatitis and tuberculosis, and I'll show you as an example the work that we've done with the hepatitis program in the National Guard, and you can extrapolate that to the TB program, because really it's the methods that we're using here which are new and we think are useful. So in order to look at a public health program, we used two dimensions. One might be called the horizontal dimension of the public health program. The third might be called would be the vertical dimension. And then the second might be called the vertical dimension. Then the third might be called an incorporation of cost and performance. So using a public health action model, which includes public health surveillance and action as interoperable functions or domains, so to speak. You have the task of detecting cases, registering cases, reporting cases, confirming cases, usually through the laboratory, analysis of the data, and then feedback to the provider. And that includes action steps that are taken in response to this information, which may be acute, like epidemic type response, case management in the circumstance of tuberculosis, for example, and planned responses, which are more deliberative, means moving personnel for next year, ordering a vaccine, et cetera. And those two domains of public health practice then are supported by communication, training, supervision, and resources, sort of like the oil in the car, if you will, allows the public health function model to work effectively. And these lead to health outcomes. This is the model of public health that's used in WHO AFRO and the Integrated Disease Response Project there implemented about 15 years ago. So this is a horizontal dimension of public health practice. If you think about the vertical dimensions of public health and you look at describing the specimen or patient pathways as being a workflow, and then characterizing the public health information flow, which overlays specimen and patient pathways, mapping that to process and outcome indicators, and finally aligning healthcare worker tasks to the specific public health activity, and then measure expenditures. So this is a new model, as it were, a vertical model of looking at public health practice, which allows the practitioner then to examine efficiency and effectiveness. We then incorporated a costing model, realizing that in public health we cannot just do performance measures. We actually have to look at the cost as a way of monitoring our work. We look at different cost types, labor, operational expenses, capital expenses, which go filtered through this public health action model element that I just described, surveillance, action, and support, and then further sub-aggregated, so to speak, into the activities which compose these different parts of public health practice. So using this new technique of evaluating or assessing public health programs, we interviewed staff members, reviewed records and forms, conducted extensive analysis, identified important areas of improvement for performance and recovery of cost, and what might be called health benefits to the National Guard. And of course, you know probably the logo of the EIS program is a shoe with a hole in the bottom of it. There was an intensive amount of shoe leather epidemiology that we did working in Saudi Arabia and in Riyadh during this 2-month period of time. And I wanted to give you sort of an overview of the results of the outcomes of our assessment. We looked at two programs, the hepatitis program and tuberculosis program, and you can see the incidence, the cumulative number of cases of hepatitis B and C and TB in the kingdom under the auspices of the National Guard. Remember, I told you that the National Guard represents about a 10% of the population in the kingdom. It's independent, as it were, from the Ministry of Health. They work in having a different catchment area, so to speak. So I'd like to show you quickly some of the work that we did looking at this new model, case detection, confirmation reporting, and tracking the specimens from the hepatitis B cases. So in 1 year, 2009, there were 127,940 hepatitis B specimens that were sent to the serology laboratory. Those came from a variety of different sources, from a blood bank that was on the campus of the National Guard, from hospitalized patients, premarital screenings in the National Guard, pre-employment assessments, and needle sticks. So of those over 127,000 specimens, screening and analyses were done. 862 produced abnormal findings for hepatitis B, and the rest had normal findings. There was no further action done on those laboratory specimens. Of those 862, 552 were hepatitis B surface antigen positive, and 310 were reportable hepatitis C virus serology specimens. So those were reported as is appropriate to the Ministry of Health as being reportable conditions for hepatitis B and C. So remember those numbers, 552 surface antigen positive coming from this laboratory screening service, and 310 hepatitis C positive specimens. So there was an evaluation of whether there was an occupational exposure and an attempt to follow up through the public health nurse of those 862 positive specimens. Then we also had to look at needle stick exposures and occupational exposures within the hospital. So I'm going to send you the next slide in just a second. Remember, 862 were attempted follow-up by the public health nurse. And so of those, remember, 552 were surface antigen positive, for hepatitis B surface antigen positive. They were entitled to be, they were eligible. In other words, they fit the criteria of being supported by the medical services and the National Guard. And 462 of those were eligible. In other words, 84% of those patients who had positive surface antigen, hepatitis B surface antigen, were eligible for services by the National Guard based on their criteria. So though a phone contact was attempted to the patients, no phone contact was, those that were not eligible, there was an attempt to be contacted, and 68 of those were contacts were made, and 22 were lost to follow-up. So we're tracking these specimens and the public health actions that are supposed to be taken in response. And the acute action, of course, of the 462 that were eligible, 304 contact was made, and then they were assessed as appropriate by the public health nurse, and that there was ongoing follow-up of a certain number of those, and you can see the sort of process of following along with the specimens and the patient follow-up. The bottom line, though, is that 158 of those patients were lost to follow-up, which means that there's a significant burden of disease and also the lack of capture of health among those patients. If we look at this situation, zooming in a little bit more deeply, there were over 460,000 specimens that were tested, and around 26% of those were hepatitis tests for surface antigen positive for anti-HCV. And if we look even deeper, then you can find that there are 310 that had positive hepatitis C and 552 that had surface antigen positivity. So if you look at the bottom line here, you have 158 patients that were lost to follow-up. That represents 34% of the patients. And these are patients that could be educated further, that had further testing and treatment and contact investigation. So there was a lost opportunity here. And so we recognize that these also represent a significant expense to the National Guard. Over 19,000 specimens were tested, and that represents a 100 Saudi rial expense, a tremendous expense in getting the patients, and those patients then were lost. So if you look at economic data to inform decision-making, the cost to detect, cost per screening is low, but the cost per completion was high. And the converse, the cost per screening was low, but the cost per completion was high. So there is an economic case to be made to the CEO of the National Guard that following up with these patients would recover a tremendous expense. We further described the program support by providing a baseline estimate of the cost, looking at these different elements and the expenses related to support, surveillance, and action, to the resources necessary, which include hepatitis screening, et cetera. So this provides a baseline, a measure of the cost of these programs for the National Guard to be able to monitor on an ongoing basis. Our recommendations were to work with the hepatitis program to develop effective and efficient means to look at staff, allocation of staff resources and time, and to develop a comprehensive indicator library to do a strategic evaluation of the hepatitis program, and to deploy an automated management tool for monitoring and evaluation of these performance, cost, and accountability measures. So we also recommended certain staff changes. We recognized there was a misalignment of staff, public health nurse, et cetera. So I want to thank you very much for your time, and I'm happy to field any questions that you may have.
No, time's up.
So yeah.
All right. Okay, next.